gentle, soothing tones here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, KBOI.com on the internet. 520-790-2040 is the phone line. That's the Buckmaster Live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You are listening to The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. My name is Dan Gibson. I am not Bill Buckmaster. It is his annual May sojourn. It's an extended vacation Bill takes every May, and then he has people of varying skills and abilities fill in for his show. You can, at the end of the hour, judge where I land on that spectrum. My name is Dan Gibson. I am the Director of Communications Marketing for Tucson Medical Center. You may remember me previously as the Senior Director of Communications for Visit Tucson. So I'm here hosting the show, which so thanks to Bill for allowing me to have the opportunity. Two guests today. Hopefully, I mean, I feel pretty good about having two guests. We set it up. So, and one of them is here now. So halfway to the goal, Irene McKisson is, here on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management Buckmaster Live line. So that's two plugs solidly there for Rincon Ventures. So, if you're keeping score at home, we're getting there on that front too. Arizona Luminaria is the website at azluminaria.org. Irene, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to talk about sort of the wild world of news startups in Arizona and, I mean, and around the country, to be fair. But let's start with what is Arizona Luminaria?
Well, it is a wild world. Arizona Luminaria is a new news startup that is based in Tucson. We have three co-founders. It's me and Becky Palick and Deanna Nanez, who's based up in Phoenix. And we're building a news organization to try to fill some of the news gaps that have kind of appeared over the last 10 to 15 years in Southern Arizona. And really, what we're trying to do is give a lot of deep, in-depth coverage on some issues that people are really passionate about that they're having trouble getting information about now. And to go super in-depth and to add the context that's sometimes missing from our kind of day-to-day crisis coverage that you often see in news these days.
Yeah, and it's certainly, I think anybody who looks at the TV stations or the newspapers, things like that, it is very much the sort of TikTok of the big story that's happening. And then a lot of, you know, to be frank, in most print outlets, a lot of national AP coverage or you know, brokered coverage or occasionally college students, which is great for them, but also shows up in mainstream media outlets. How did you you know, with people with journalistic backgrounds as you and the rest of the founders, how did you get to making this decision? You know, why a new startup other than filling the gaps? I think, why you guys and why now?
Well, Becky and I spent 18 years at the Arizona Daily Star. I personally thought I would retire there. I am a native Tucsonan. I grew up here. I was on my high school newspaper and decided I was going to work for my hometown newspaper forever. And I was on my way there, and as was Becky, I think. And we were working really hard inside the newspaper to work on this kind of disruption that's happening. And like, I think the one thing I've learned kind of, you know, pitching this startup and starting to publish is that everybody suddenly seems to have a sense that there's a problem in local news in a way that I think they didn't even 5 years ago. People can feel it more viscerally now that there's something missing and that they're not able to get information that they used to be able to get. And so, you know, we looked around and said, I think we can build something that will help solve that problem. I'm a problem solver. I want to go in and try to fix something. And because my passion is about journalism and its importance in democracy and its importance to Tucson, honestly, because I grew up here and I want to make sure that my community has this public service. And that the public service is doing what it needs to do to help people get connected to the information that they need. And in our case, we are very kind of narrowly focused in a complementary way to the existing news ecosystem, with really in-depth coverage on kind of four starter topics. And we're trying to provide kind of, we're trying to fill some very specific gaps that are, that exist in the news landscape. So I think all of us left because we deeply believe in journalism, and we started this so that we could try to help solve this kind of like looming problem in local news that is partially related to the business model, right? Like, this isn't just about, oh, I don't trust local news, or I don't trust news in general, or, oh, there's so many choices. It's really a business model problem at its heart. And we built Luminaria as a nonprofit, not to solve a business model problem. Like, we recognize that a nonprofit is not a business model, but to communicate that we think journalism should be free and available and not behind a paywall, that we think there is a business model for local news, and we'd like to try to figure it out. And so you'll see this nonprofit news thing happening all over the country. There are hundreds that have cropped up in the last couple years. And indeed, in Arizona, we have a couple. But on the East Coast and on the West Coast, on the coasts, I guess, you see lots and lots of these news startups popping up as nonprofits.
Well, and I mean, it's fascinating because we have, you know, the internet has allowed this sort of commentary culture, right? And right. And everyone remarks on the news or some version of it, I guess. But, you know, there has to be a place where there's actual like first source information, you know, and yeah. there is such a need for it. It's not that there isn't people aren't passionate about getting information. I think any scan of Twitter will tell you that on any given day, but there is a challenge of like, well, where is it and how will it be paid for? You know,
that, yeah. How do you pay for that? Because you know, that work is hard.
Yeah.
And it takes time. And I know, you know, this, like, you know, an experienced reporter, writing a really in-depth story takes, and then editing that story and then producing that story and putting it out and making sure that it has all of those pieces that people want it to have, like, that's expensive work, and it should be expensive because it requires expertise. And so when you can't support that on the business side is what we're seeing right now, is that, you know, reporters are just leaving in droves for many reasons.
Sure.
And there's just not enough of them left in the community. I mean, like, at the base of it, that's what we're doing, is hiring more reporters to try to fill some of those gaps. Like, we did an ecosystem study before we started, and we looked at how many daily reporters were left in the state. And we think it's about 3 daily reporters per 100,000 in the state.
Yikes.
And in 1990, that number was 22 per capita.
Well,
you
can
see the, like,
you just have to ask more for these people, right? I mean, I can say it with full honesty. I had to ask too much of people when I was the editor of the Weekly, you know, like, there was no time. I mean, like, I need that story this week, right? If on a, I don't know, on a Friday, one of the reporters said, hey, I need another week for the story to make it great for the cover, I'd be like, I don't know how to do that. You know, like, the churn is so real, partially because of the digital model, partially just because there weren't enough people. It would have been nice to have people on a beat.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's funny because I've been looking back on that time for a variety of reasons. And I'm like, gosh, was I bad at that job, or was the job bad? Like, was it a winnable situation? Right. Like, and I don't know the answer to that. Probably, I'm sure there are people who left comments for me who would say that I was just bad at it. But like, the stress of that space is so real. And it, I don't know that I would be curious to know the journalist, the editor or whoever feels in one of, you know, let's say the Republic or whatever, that feels like they're just like killing it. Like, it's just going so well.
Right.
just the fundamental brokenness of the space, you know?
Well, so, I mean, I guess that's one of the things that I'm excited about with Luminaria, is like getting out from under someone else's structure and someone else's systems and like rebuilding those from the ground up. So what would it look like if you were able to rebuild that whole system so that it worked for both the readers and the journalists? Is where we're starting, really. Like, can we do that? And what might it look like if you just throw away everything you know about how a newspaper works?
Sure.
And start over. So, you know, we're working on the public-facing side of this, the, like, news side, but we're also working on the business side, the internal side, the culture side, because journalism culture is garbage right now. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that. Like, it is a very difficult place to work, and you just alluded to some of that. Like, when you don't have enough resources and when you don't have enough resources and people or money, there's lots of things that just kind of get thrown out the window, and there's these expectations that reporters will do everything for very little pay. And so there's just this churn of reporters, and a reporter who churns through city council every 6 months, you can't cover city council.
Right.
Because you spend the first 3 months just trying to figure out what's going on, and then you're done 3 months after that, and it starts all over again. So you're absolutely right, but that is also part of the thing that I'm excited about trying to work on a little bit, is like, what does this look like if it's healthy?
Well, I want to talk about the business model more, and if you'll stick around for one more segment. Speaking of business model, I have a delightful way to pay for the Buckmaster Show happening right now. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery. It's home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. It is Tuesday, so you can still get over there for lunch. Don't let your dreams be dreams. Get over there. You can go for just dessert. They have all kinds of things happening there. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the famous Danish Kringle. MonasDanishBakery.com or BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You are listening to The Bill Buckmaster Show. My name is Dan Gibson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. If you have any questions for Irene McKisson about the future of news, feel free to give us a call at 520-790-2040. And we'll be back in just a bit.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And guests of the Buckmaster Show, and you, person who calls in, I guess you would be a guest as well, to 520-790-2040, you would appear on the Buckmaster Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. So all of that's happening. Irene McKisson is our guest from azluminaria.org. So Irene, we've mentioned it, and I'm sure, you know, when people are thinking about new news models, they're talking about how does one pay for this? How does this happen? Website and the great stories on there, including a really interesting story by your colleague and co-founder Becky Palick about the federal earmarks. Turns out Sora National Park is getting expanded. So I had not read that anywhere else. So that is the type of news that you can get today at azluminaria.org. But how do you pay for this?
That is a good question. So the way we think you pay for it is multiple revenue streams. So part of the reason newspapers in particular are in trouble, and to a certain extent broadcast, is the reliance on advertising and the world we live in now, where that advertising is available for anybody to buy on Facebook or Google and doesn't necessarily need to be purchased through your local news organization, right? So we think advertising is a part of that, local advertising in particular, and that maybe it looks a bit different than what we're used to. We think pop-up ads are ridiculous and not useful in any way. And so Becky and I are the co-founders of This Is Tucson at the Arizona Daily Star. And while we were there, we were experimenting with this kind of different way to do advertising. And so we're taking that to AZ Luminaria. There is a nonprofit piece of this, so a membership model a la NPR, where you support this because you think it should be free for your community to read. And then local foundations and local funders. We also think, you know, local news is a local public service, like the library and like the symphony, and that without it, a city isn't a city because you're missing this really important piece. Like, there are national peer-reviewed studies that show that communities that have local journalism are more civic-minded, that they vote more, that they are less polarized. Like, local journalism can do that in a way that national journalism does the opposite. And so it's important for it to be locally run and locally funded. And so part of organizing as a nonprofit is to provide a way for people to do that. And then in addition to that, we think that there are other revenue streams, like live events, that we can add to try to get to sustainability. So that's really what we're going for, is sustainability, we're a nonprofit, right? We're not going to wring all the profits that we can out of our journalists and then sell it to somebody else and walk away. Like, this is our community and this is a community service. And so what we're doing is trying to grow it so that we can put more journalists in Southern Arizona and do more stories like the one Becky did about earmarks, so that you will know more things like the fact that Saguaro National Park is expanding to protect the creek out there.
I mean, don't undersell the idea of cashing in and running. I just as a thing, it's I mean, don't get too far over the skis, you know, see how it feels.
Journalism is not the industry for that. Like, if that's what you want, journalism is not the industry that you should be in.
No. I remember saying this to interns at the Weekly. I would say, I'm here to convince you to pursue, if you have any other inkling of anything else you want to do, pursue that career. Like, you have to feel, you know, not to sound mystical or spiritual about it, you have to feel a real calling to that business, to journalism. I mean, there's no other way to do it. Yeah. Unless you happen to go to Northwestern and then you can get hired by the New York Times.
But that's the national news. That doesn't help with a more civic minded community, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
National news is so available to us right now that it feels like maybe news isn't a problem. Like, when you say news or you say media and people think Fox or MSNBC or the New York Times, like, that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about our community and what's happening in it. And that's different. And it's really in trouble. So, you know, and if that goes away, what does that mean? And I think we're starting to see what that means. And it's not great. Like, people don't know what's happening and are feeling very disconnected. And I think journalism and the availability of journalists to provide that kind of higher level information and context is what's missing.
Well, I don't want to, I mean, maybe I do want to pick on people, but I'm aiming not to pick on people here. But I mean, the fact that let's just say the Chuck Huckleberry contract situation went on for months and months and months, right? And I mean, part of that is
Dylan was covering that at the Sentinel. Like, the Sentinel was covering that story, and it just wasn't getting.
Yeah, it wasn't getting the traction, right? And so, like, somebody has to tell these stories, right? And that's not the only thing. They're not just the public watchdog part, but just like, what does it mean to live here? Like, what is it as water issues come up, and Tony Davis does a great job of that. Is like, but it takes
he's so great.
It takes somebody with a singular focus about a thing, but it also takes a publication to allow them to do that. When Tony retires, there is no other Tony, right? I'm not meaning to pick on the star,
and
but like,
no,
maybe
I think everybody who is at the Star is doing the same thing I'm doing, right? Like, they believe it is a public service, and they're doing their best to do that public service to the best of their abilities. And they're hamstrung a bit by the ownership structure there. They're owned by two corporate owners that are not based in our state. And so the decisions are just not about Tucson. They're not about Southern Arizona. They're not about Arizona at all. Yeah.
I don't know how you can have stockholders as a media organization in 2022 and do the work.
That's what we're just talking about, right?
Yeah, it's impossible because you're just, again, you're looking to milk another dollar out of it. And it's just, you can't.
The way to do that is to get rid of journalists,
which
is not serving our community, right?
You're like, hey, you're in college? Cool. Great. Like, but yeah, the loss of people on beats, the loss of like court reporting. I mean, obviously, I think really the smartest thing, at least from my very, very limited perspective about the Luminaria, is like we're aiming to cover these four things really well. Because it's impossible. You could dig a river an inch deep, right? But gosh, I think about it all the time. I'm just like, oh man, I'd really like to know what's going on with the follow through on someone who was arrested for whatever, alleged for a crime, and then the court case happens and like, good luck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's great for PR people like me. It is a great situation for us because there are outlets that will run my stuff verbatim. But then I'm like, Like, who's looking into this stuff? Yeah, it's tough.
It is. Well, and that kind of shallow coverage is what makes people feel really. So we talked to a lot of people before we built anything. And the thing that we heard over and over again was, I'm burnt out. I can't, like, the news makes me sad. I feel unempowered. And part of what we identified in there is that people don't know how to take action in their own communities because they don't have the information to do that. And part of the reason is what you just identified, that there's no feedback loop. There's no follow through. You don't know that something bad has happened until it's happened and you see the headline that something bad happened. If you'd known about it, you know, 3 months previous, you could have gone to the meeting or felt like you could do something. And so there's some issues there, right? It's about story framing, like, how can you help? But it's also about having that beat journalism of somebody who is there at the beginning and there at the end, and they're going to give you the whole thing.
Well, if people would like to read these really great stories, I mean, I'm not just saying this because you're on the air. Like, I've really appreciated what Luminary has been doing and some of the other startups as well, like Arizona Agenda and some of the others. Like, it has felt like a much better time to be informed about very important issues. And especially as before you see Axios and some of these things coming into that market, they're seeing a gap. But like, it should be smart, able people who care a lot about this community, like you and Becky and everyone else involved in Luminaria. So I want to make sure people go to azluminaria.org, and there are plenty of places on that website to give you all money. You can click a button. I'm sure it's very simple from there. And you're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank. Oh yeah. No. And I mean, is there anything else people shouldn't like? Yeah. What's coming next? You know, sort of. Actually, I said that, and then I realized I only gave you a minute.
It's okay.
So thank you.
We're hiring. Hiring full-time reporters, and we're raising money to do that. So yeah.
All of these are great things. Definitely a plus. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And
thanks, Dan.
Everyone should go check out the website today-ish. I hope the website, just the traffic jumps up.
thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. I love talking to you.
Also, speaking of money and the Buckmaster Show, since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a lovely 13-acre site that is also home to Zocalo Village and all those fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. We will be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
I think I think this is new bumper music. It's new to me, bumper music. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a nice vibe. Like, almost like a little Enya adjacent. I think I might just take a nap. I mean, is that... No, probably should not do that. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm guest hosting for Bill Buckmaster, who, if he was listening, was just having an aneurysm about me taking a nap behind the desk. You can learn all about all of the exciting things happening at KVOI at kvoi.com. If you would like to call, I get so few calls during the show, but it's probably because the information is so good and thorough. But you can call at 520-790-2040. The 10:30 The Voice is on all the things, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. It is the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and callers are on the Buckmaster Live Line as presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the Live Line, Amanda Powers is on the Live Line from FC Tucson. Amanda, I always just think of you as just being in charge of FC Tucson, but you're president? Is that the actual title?
Yes, I am the president of the company and the president of the club. Yes.
Okay. Well, I feel like I've been underselling you this whole time because you've earned that specific title, and I'm just like, I don't know. She runs it. I don't know. Like, so, which probably undersells everyone else involved.
Yes, absolutely. Our ownership group is in Los Angeles, and so I am very much the on the ground feet voice. Ears, eyes to the ownership group.
I want to mention right up front, there's a match this Friday. It is May 20th. It is, also May 5/20/5/20. That's the area code around here. It is also my birthday. So, I mean, if people want to give me a gift, they can come to the soccer game against the dreaded, I believe it's the Richmond Kickers.
The Richmond Kickers.
The worst. First, Richmond's fine. But I mean, secondly, like you call your soccer team the Kickers. I mean, come on. Let's just not do that.
And they have a kangaroo mascot as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I think of Richmond, I think of kangaroos by all means. Yeah. Makes sense. Totally checks out. 100% checks out.
It's one of the oldest running soccer clubs in America. So you got to give it up for that. They've survived some serious peaks and valleys in the game.
There's a lot of old things I don't like, to be fair. So on that note, I'm looking to build more spite in the USL community. I mean, I get it. You got to work with all these people and try to build the sport and stuff. I don't. I can dislike all the other teams. I can dislike them like irrationally and with a vengeance.
I love some good old Tucson chip on the shoulder. Let's show them what we got. Kind of. Vengeance. I'm happy if you breed that.
Okay, fair enough. So let's talk about, let's start with, how did you end up, first of all, you came from the club in Albuquerque, but how did you end up in soccer to begin with?
Well, I grew up in San Diego as a competitive swimmer, so I always sort of have a preface whenever I have meetings that I have actually never played a game of soccer in my life. But I was a very high competing athlete. I NCAA All-American swimmer. I coached for 4 years. I've trained under top Olympic coaches. And I think, and I studied international business. So, I mean, you want the quick story. Hey, I'm working in international business, the game of football. But really, I grew up with some union labor organizer parents. I grew up at the Union Hall. My mom worked for Cesar Chavez in the 70s, actually here in Tucson for a brief stint, and then went on to work in the aerospace industry as a labor organizer. So I actually grew up at the Union Hall and watched how movements were made. And I've always been a jock, but like many people who are, 40-somethings growing up in America, you probably didn't have access to watch soccer on TV because most of the time soccer in the 80s and the 90s was on Spanish speaking stations or some, expensive cable package for every 4 years at the World Cup. So the access to the game was not something that I really had as much of. And I never really thought about the game that much, honestly, until I was working in economic development in Albuquerque, met a very exciting entrepreneur who was running the amateur team, happened to be a Liverpool fan, He was running a team called the Albuquerque Soul that actually used to compete against FC Tucson in the amateur days. And this guy just really inspired me, and he started educating me a little bit more about the global soccer community. Obviously, somebody who's a card-carrying Liverpool fan and happens to be the 505 Reds president, organizing all the parties in Albuquerque. I started to kind of get into this whole other world of understanding what more or less was the opportunity. So this gentleman and I teamed up in 2015. I was working in a myriad of industries and projects throughout the state of New Mexico, actually national projects as well. But I was so desperate to just see some really positive things happen for our community. I'm sick of hearing, about Albuquerque and New Mexico being on the bottom of every good list and on the top of every bad list in the country. And so this gentleman started introducing me and educating me to the sport and the ability that it has to bring community together. So I think in my heart and my soul as a kid, that's watching my parents bring people together through a different kind of movement. I've always been intrigued on how can I build enterprise and bring people together for good. So I did some initial market analysis to help this gentleman began a campaign to bring a professional team to the state of New Mexico. And I had just used, some of my economic development, acumen and some of my market research background to help really understand, hey, do we have a market here for professional soccer? It's second division soccer in New Mexico, whereas we're third division here in Albuquerque or Tucson. So, we put an advisory council together. I would organize those meetings, bring ex officios together, developers, business people. And at the end of the day, the city of Albuquerque had hired me to write a feasibility study for a downtown soccer stadium. I wrote that in 2017. It was a mayoral election that year, so people got a little busy. And I started kind of entering into this niche industry of working with ownership groups around the country who were trying to bring not only professional teams to market, but also the appropriate facilities that they need to play in, which at that time was a 10,000-seat stadium. So I eventually got a call in January of 18 from an investor who had read my study, and he said, I believe that we can build something really special in the state, and I'd like you to shut your consulting business down and come co-found this organization. And I became the COO, and I shut my business down, and we built one of the most successful American soccer franchises in the history of U.S. soccer, New Mexico United. So if you don't or aren't really familiar with soccer, but you are hearing me talk about Albuquerque and having a very successful club, I mean, that says a lot about what we were able to do in building a team for the people that not just soccer fans, but the whole community could really get behind and support. And so, for me, I get to use all my skills, which is building companies and enterprises, building community, and then throwing sweet events. That's what we do, 50 times a year, more or less.
Well, I mean, it feels like there's something intrinsic, and I don't entirely know why this is, but I mean, something intrinsic to the sport that allows for this sort of like hyper community thing, right? And you see it in all these, clubs all over the world, right? That, whatever community side in England or film, whatever down the division ranks in another, there's something where the community really rallies around the space. And I don't know if it's, I think it's partially because of the accessibility of soccer as a sport to play, right? You can see it around the world. People, you can kick any type of round thing towards anything else, and it be soccer. But it does have that connective tissue to it that, and it might be also the sort of lack of in these divisions, the lack of the sort of like giant corporate thing happening, right? Because, sometimes when you support or you care about professional sports in America, you realize you're cheering for a brand. Or sometimes a jersey or like it isn't connected to the community. It's some guy with money who bought a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very fascinated about building empathic brands. And in soccer, I really truly believe truly believe that the only way that this sport is going to have long-lasting sustainability, feasibility, is if we build a grassroots movement. You know, Europe has an edge on us Americans in so many ways, mostly because they haven't had to compete with the NFL, the NBA, heck, even the NCAA. Because soccer is not reliant on a draft system, it's not reliant on the college NCAA system as much as the other sports are. And the way that clubs were built in England and Europe was very much, hey, here's your only sport, here's your community stadium, this is your identity. And everybody in the community gets behind that identity and supports it, and you're not facing as much competition with other major sports like you are in the U.S. And so, you know, I think what you've seen in the last 10 years with the United Soccer League being so successful in markets like Albuquerque, heck, Detroit City has got, you know, an amazing club coming out, you know, of a Rust Belt city that's in dire need of an identity, you know, when General Motors and Ford isn't necessarily that isn't maybe something that identity that everybody's striving for, and you're trying to get it with the Lions per se. I mean, I don't want to offend any Lions fans on the phone, but, you know, soccer has kind of provided this platform for at times marginalized voices. And for people who, like myself, who honestly never really played the game, but love what the game does to bring people together, that's how we get hooked. And I don't think that this, you know, that towns like Tucson, I don't think that the fans are going to be driven by a big, you know, sexy brand that doesn't address the barrios of our community, doesn't address like the cultural richness that we have here, and bring that into the games and the players and the stories that we're trying to tell with this club. But, you know, the World Cup is coming to the United States in 4 years. It's coming to Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. And, you know, we know that the sport is going to grow at least 2x. Our games are already on ESPN+. So somebody could be sitting in front of their Hulu station and just tune into an FC Tucson game, which I think is pretty cool. And so, you know, in the next 4 years, we need to be prepared from everything from the youth game to get, you know, prepared for bringing more kids into play. That means you need more coaches, you need more referees, you need more facilities. And then, of course, you're going to see all these really unique ways for the media to play out and all sorts of ways for people to get involved with the team. So for us and the ethos that we have here, especially turning pro in 2019, is we've got to reintegrate with the community, especially coming out of the pandemic, and give people a reason to want to care about FC Tucson. So I'm taking all sorts of input on that as well for anybody who's listening.
You are great about that. I mean, and any number of things, but I have annoyed you with a number of ideas, and you're always at least patronizing. and I don't even feel that way. I'm just like, oh, she really like thinks this is useful. We have to take a break. Amanda, will you stick around for one more? I want to talk a little bit about like how you're executing that in Tucson and some of the things that people can expect from FC Tucson games. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. KVOI.com, 520-790-2040.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Gibson. I'm a PR and communications and marketing person at Tucson Medical Center. But today, I get to put on the hat of local radio host on the Buckmaster Show on here on 1030 The Voice. Trust local news and talk. You are listening. You're listening to me broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and you're listening to our guests on the Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Before we get back to Amanda, who was talking briefly about New Mexico before, let me mention another thing about New Mexico. That's called a segue. Our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, are ready to welcome you back with open arms. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there is so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where there is plenty of social distancing, and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do, including some very enjoyable used bookstores and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Now, back to soccer with Amanda Powers, president of FC Tucson. The challenge is, at least to my perception, to get anyone to do literally anything in 2022 is that you are competing with the infinite yaw of entertainment, right? You're competing with people messing around on their phones, television, movies, you know, this sort of endless thing. How do you get people to come to a stadium?
Well, there's a lot of things that, yeah, you're right. We're competing with in-home entertainment. I mean, 2020, 2021, everybody had made a lot of investments in their home and their lifestyle. And obviously you can watch our games from a mobile phone or a smart TV. And so we have to give people a reason to want to care about FC Tucson first and foremost. And then secondly, how do we convince them to come out? You know, a lot of our community stories and a lot of the grassroots work that we're doing with students, with soccer players. I just had a meeting with the Mexican consulate. We're looking at binational, you know, relations as well and growing better binational relations. You have to kind of peek under the hood a little bit more to figure out what all we're doing, because it's a lot. And then you have the actual game and entertainment itself. You know, this is we have the second highest level of professional soccer in the state behind Phoenix Rising, who plays just up the road in a 10,000 seat stadium. And they're probably averaging about 8,000 fans a game, whereas we're trying to average 2,000. So I always have my hardcores who are going to come down and really want to watch soccer. But what I'm looking for is people who love sports They love Tucson, and they want to see something grow and succeed here. So in order to do that, I've got to put an exciting product on the pitch. And so we're in a little bit of a slump right now that I don't want to go too deep into because it's a long season. Our season does go until the end of October.
As evidenced by last season, which didn't start off so great either, yes. And then turned out just yes. fine.
Right. And so we're, you know, so I can't always just sell the wins. You know, anybody would be a fool to work in sports business and just, you know, focus on the win. So what do? We worked really hard with Pima County, the Keno Sports Complex and Desert Fun Foods, who's our concessionaire, to lower the concession prices and offer up better food items. So we have a monsoon margarita this year named after our monsoon kit. We've got a special FC Tucson Sonoran dog. So for me, it's a lot of like, creating a space that's representative of Tucson. So if we're known for culinary, music, art, then we need to bring that into the games. And so this Friday for 520 night, you're going to be serenaded by the wonderful sounds of Los Diablitos de Mariachi de Sunnyside. We have a very close relationship with them. We've got some lowriders that are going to be out there on Friday. Fingers crossed, we might have Wilma and Wilbur, we'll see, from U of A come out and make a little cameo. And then we're bringing in, you know, some TIFO art, some canvas art that we made out, that the community made last year during our Barrio to Barrio series. So we curate every single game to try to hit some touch points. And so that anybody who's walking into a game for the first time is like, feels like, okay, this is a Tucson team. I'm connecting with this. I'm having a good time. And that's also almost always is what I want is just get somebody out for one game. And I promise you, you're going to love the family feeling, the kids running around on the grass playing, you know, in our kid zone, to the excitement and the very, you know, pretty high soccer IQ of fans that we have. They're pretty much telling the referees how to do their job every game. But I think more importantly, leading cheers and, you know, wanting to see their team win. So That's how, you know, it's one part word of mouth, and then, you know, and then we'll do some other, you know, weight gimmicks, if you will, to try to get things out. Unfortunately, we won't have fireworks on July 3rd this year, which we've had for 11 straight years, but that's a whole other.
It's a story for another day.
So I can't do, I don't know if you've probably been talking about it on your show, is supply chain. And I know if anybody wants to hear the word supply chain one more time, but That is a little bit of a bummer because we were just one of about a handful, I think, of events that actually had 4th of July fireworks, but we won't have them this year.
You want to just load up a truck in New Mexico and bring it over? I mean, I'm happy to like participate in that. So
I'm down for stuff like that.
Everyone gets a Roman candle. What could go wrong? Truly, what could go wrong?
Well, my question is, do you call them Feralitos or do you call them Luminarias?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point. See, there you go. We only have a minute left, but I want to reiterate how affordable. I mean, I am a season ticket holder, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. But this is an affordable, entertaining thing. You can meet the players afterwards. They are there to mm-hmm. sign things. There is music. There is food. There is beer. It is all coming together. It is hard to beat as an entertainment option. I just want to reiterate to people that mm-hmm. is a good time. And then in a world where everything is looking at a screen and some sort of imagined version of real life, the soccer games are definitely a very good time. Thank you, Amanda, for appearing on the Buckmaster Show Friday, May 20th, 7 p.m. against the dreaded Richmond Kickers. Watch FC Tucson humiliate them and send them back to wherever they're from crying. You have listened to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. My name is Dan Gibson from Tucson Medical Center. I'm filling in for Bill Buckmaster. You can follow along on his Facebook page and see all the exciting things he's doing. And there'll be other people guesting, but be sure you listen to 1030, The Voice, KVOI the rest of the day, and learn all you need to know. And thanks so much.